Hey everyone, ready for a deep dive into some employment law? Buckle up, because today we're tackling a case that's got it all: fairness, opportunity, and even a bit of drama.
It's fascinating how seemingly straightforward things like employment tests can have massive legal consequences.
That's what we're here to unpack. We're talking Albemarle Paper Company v. Moody, a 1975 Supreme Court case that's still shaping how HR departments operate today.
This case really digs into two huge issues: using back pay as a remedy for discrimination, and what exactly makes a test valid in the eyes of the law.
Okay, so to really understand Albemarle, we got to set the scene.
Exactly. We need to understand the context.
Picture this Albemarle Paper Company's plant in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, before the Civil Rights Act.
Now, before we even get into the legal stuff, it's crucial to remember we're not just talking about abstract concepts here.
Right, this isn't just some textbook case.
This is about real people, their jobs, their ability to take care of their families.
And unfortunately, at Albemarle, before the Civil Rights Act, jobs and pay were completely segregated by race.
Yeah, and for black employees, this meant being stuck in lower-paying jobs with way fewer opportunities.
Just because of their race.
Exactly. And even after the Civil Rights Act passed in 1964, things didn't magically change overnight.
They signed a collective bargaining agreement in 68 to try and fix these inequalities. But it didn't quite hit the mark.
Nope. Black employees still faced barriers, and that's where these employment tests enter the picture.
Okay, so in the 1950s, Albemarle started using these tests.
Yeah.
The beta examination, and the Wunderlich.
And they used these tests to decide who got what job.
On the surface, they might seem neutral enough.
But in practice, they ended up having a discriminatory impact on black employees.
It's a pattern we see a lot. These measures that seem objective on paper,
but end up perpetuating existing biases.
Exactly. And that's where Joseph Moody comes in. He was an employee at Albemarle who decided to take a stand.
He wasn't going to stand for this injustice.
In 1966, he and other black employees filed a class action lawsuit.
And initially, they were looking for an injunction, basically asking the court to order Albemarle to stop these discriminatory practices.
But then things took a turn in 1970 when they added a demand for back pay to the lawsuit.
That back pay demand became a huge part of the case.
So this case goes on this wild ride through the courts, starting in the district court, moving up to the Fourth Circuit, and finally landing in the Supreme Court.
Talk about a legal journey.
And when it finally reaches the Supreme Court, they're faced with these two major questions. When is back pay appropriate in discrimination cases? And what actually makes a test fair and job-related?
Those are big questions. And the court's decisions in Albemarle didn't just impact that specific case.
They set precedents that we're still grappling with today.
Exactly. So let's unpack the first big one, back pay.
The Supreme Court basically said that back pay isn't about punishing companies.
It's about making things right for the victims of discrimination.
Right. It's about trying to restore what they lost because of that discrimination, the wages, the opportunities.
Justice Potter Stewart put it perfectly in the majority opinion. The remedy is compensation, not punishment.
Love that quote. So that ruling made it a lot easier for employees to actually receive compensation in these types of cases.
It was a big win for employees' rights.
Okay, so then we have the second big question, test validity.
Luckily, the court had already kind of laid the groundwork for this one with Griggs v. Duke Power a few years earlier.
Right. That case established that employment tests have to be connected to the job.
No more random tests that have nothing to do with what people will actually be doing.
And Albemarle was now tasked with proving that their tests were actually job-related.
And guess what? They didn't pass the test.
Huh. It's almost like they tried to cherry-pick data to make their case.
Yeah, for one, their study only focused on higher-level positions and completely ignored a bunch of skilled jobs that required the tests, too.
Not very representative, is it? Plus, their study had a teeny tiny number of black employees, which obviously skews the results.
Exactly. The court saw right through it and decided that Albemarle's study wasn't a true reflection of their workforce.
So those tests were out.
And to really drive home the point, the court leaned heavily on professional guidelines for test validation.
They basically said, hey, employers, you can't just ignore these guidelines.
The EEOC guidelines got a shout out in the court's decision. They emphasized that any test used has to have a clear and proven link to what people are actually doing on the job.
That's huge. Yeah. It means those guidelines carry some serious weight and employers better pay attention.
Absolutely. But there's another layer to this decision that adds a bit more nuance.
Oh, yeah. Justice Blackmun had some interesting thoughts on the matter.
He wrote a concurring opinion expressing some concern about rigidly applying those guidelines in every single case.
So while the guidelines are important, He thought there might be situations where an employer could still show good faith even if they didn't follow every single detail to the letter.
It's interesting how one court decision can have different interpretations and perspectives.
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, the majority opinion made it crystal clear. The responsibility lies with employers to ensure that any tests they use are fair and truly measure what's needed for the job.
No more cutting corners.
And that's a principle that's had a ripple effect on how HR departments operate even to this day.
It's like a legal thriller with real-world consequences, but it doesn't stop there.
No way. We're just getting started. The implications of this case go way beyond 1975.
Especially in today's world with all the new technology and hiring practices.
Oh yeah, what about AI?
Exactly. AI and algorithms are changing the game when it comes to hiring, and that's where things get really interesting.
Sounds like we've got a lot more to unpack.
We do. And that's what we'll be exploring in the next part of our deep dive into Albemarle Paper Company v. Moody.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Albemarle Paper Company v. Moody.
Last time we were talking about how seriously the court took those EEOC guidelines.
Right, those guidelines for test validation.
They weren't messing around. It was basically like, hey, employers, you gotta follow these rules. The court made it clear that those guidelines are like the gold standard.
The gold standard for proving a test is truly job-related.
Exactly. You can't just slap something together and hope for the best.
Especially when you're making decisions about people's livelihoods. You better make sure those tests are legit.
And the impact of Albemarle goes way beyond just tests.
Oh yeah, this case has had a ripple effect on how HR departments do their thing, even today.
Absolutely. Albemarle really set the stage for how we think about fairness in hiring.
Tell me more. What kind of ripple effect are we talking about?
Well, for one, it made it clear that companies can't just assume their tests are fair. They have a responsibility to constantly audit and evaluate them, make sure they're still valid and job-related.
So it's not a one-and-done kind of thing?
Nope. It's an ongoing process, especially in today's world where jobs and technology are constantly changing.
What was relevant a decade ago might be totally outdated now.
Exactly. It's a challenge for HR folks for sure, but it's crucial to creating a fair and equitable workplace.
I can see that. And that's where the idea of exploring less discriminatory alternatives comes in, right?
You got it. The court didn't just say, your tests are bad, throw them out. They also encouraged employers to think outside the box.
To be more proactive and find ways to evaluate candidates that don't have that built-in bias.
Right. So instead of those broad, generalized tests that might disadvantage certain groups,
they should be looking for more targeted assessments that really focus on the specific skills needed for the job.
Like work sample simulations, or even just taking into account a candidate's actual experience.
Much better than those standardized tests we all dreaded in school, right?
Yeah. I like that analogy. We need more creative and innovative approaches to evaluating candidates.
And that brings us back to those modern day implications we were talking about earlier.
Oh yeah, remember our conversation about AI and algorithms and hiring?
Yeah, it's kind of freaky to think about a computer program deciding who gets a job.
It can be, but the principles from Albemarle are still just as relevant today as they were back then.
Okay, help me connect the dots here. How does Albemarle apply to this whole AI thing?
All right, so let's say an employer is using some fancy AI tool to sort through resumes.
I'm picturing it. What could go wrong?
Now imagine this AI tool was trained on data from past hiring decisions.
Go.
And let's say that data reflects some of the biases that already exist in the workforce, like fewer women in leadership roles or fewer people of color in certain industries.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
The AI starts to learn and internalize those biases, and then those biases show up in its recommendations.
So it might start flagging resumes with certain names as less qualified, even if those candidates have the right skills.
Exactly. It's like the algorithm is perpetuating historical inequalities without anyone even realizing it.
That's pretty scary. And that's where Albemarle steps in. It reminds us that we can't just blindly trust technology.
We need to be super vigilant and make sure these tools are being used ethically and fairly.
It's amazing how a case from decades ago can still be so relevant to the challenges we face today.
It's like Albemarle was ahead of its time. It highlights the power of legal principles and how they shape how we approach complex societal issues. It's a reminder that we need to be constantly on guard in our pursuit of equality and fairness.
It's not a destination, it's a journey.
Well said. But before we wrap up, I'm curious. If you were designing a hiring process today, what's the one big lesson from Albemarle you'd keep in mind?
That's a tough one. But I think for me, it would be remembering the human element, you know, behind all the data, Behind every resume, there's a real person with their own hopes and dreams.
That's a beautiful way to put it. We can't lose sight of that.
Our hiring processes should treat every single person with respect and dignity.
It's about creating a system where everyone has a fair shot, regardless of their background.
Couldn't agree more. Now, how can employers make sure they're actually living up to that spirit of fairness, especially in this age of AI?
That's the million-dollar question, and it takes a multi-pronged approach.
Okay, break it down for me. What's step one?
Transparency. Employers need to be upfront about how they're using AI in their hiring process. What data is feeding the AI? What criteria are they using to evaluate candidates?
No more hiding behind the curtain when it comes to hiring decisions.
Exactly. Openness is key. And then you need constant monitoring and auditing.
So not just a one-time check, but an ongoing process.
You got it. Employers have to regularly check in and see if their AI tools are leading to biased outcomes. Are they disproportionately screening out candidates from certain demographic groups? And if so, why is that happening?
And I imagine having diverse teams involved in this whole process is super important.
Absolutely. Having people with different backgrounds and experiences at the table can help spot and address potential biases that might otherwise slip through the cracks.
It's like that saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Love that. And finally, employers need to remember that technology is a tool, not a magic solution to all their hiring problems.
Don't just blindly trust the algorithm.
Right. Human judgment is still crucial. Employers need to use their brains to interpret the data, consider the context, and make sure the final decisions are fair and just.
AI can be a powerful tool, but it's not a replacement for human responsibility.
Couldn't have said it better myself. At the end of the day, it's on us to use these technologies in a way that promotes fairness and opportunity for everyone.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. It's amazing how a case from almost 50 years ago can still be so relevant today.
It really speaks to the power of legal principles and how they can shape our thinking about these really complex issues.
Albemarle is like a reminder that the pursuit of equality is an ongoing thing. We can't ever let our guard down.
It's a journey that requires us to constantly question assumptions and challenge the status quo to create a better, more just world for everyone. It really has been quite a journey exploring this case. But, you know, the conversation doesn't end here.
There's always more to learn, right? And that's where you come in, our amazing listeners.
We want to hear from you. What are your takeaways from this deep dive? Did anything surprise you about Albemarle or how it connects to AI in hiring?
Head over to our social media or leave us a voicemail. We love hearing from you guys.
Your insights are super valuable to this conversation. But before we sign off, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
I'm all ears. Hit me with it.
It's a bit of a challenge. Put yourself in the shoes of an attorney advising a company that's developing a brand new AI hiring tool. What advice would you give them based on everything we've learned from Albemarle?
Ooh, I like that. It's like taking everything we've discussed and putting it into practice.
Exactly. It's bridging the gap between legal theory and the real world.
Well, first things first, I'd remind them about the concept of disparate impact. We can't just assume that AI is automatically objective and unbiased.
Right. Good old disparate impact. We've seen so many examples of tools that seem neutral on the surface but end up having a discriminatory effect.
Even if the AI wasn't designed to discriminate, it could still end up disadvantaging certain groups without anyone even realizing it.
And that's where Albemarle comes in. The company would have to prove that their AI tool is truly job-related and doesn't unfairly screen out certain applicants.
They can't just say, oh, the AI said so. They've got to back it up.
Exactly. They need a solid validation process that involves some serious statistical analysis and input from a diverse group of experts.
And they need to be able to explain how the AI is making its decisions. What factors is it looking at? How much weight does it give to each factor?
Transparency is key. If you can't explain the AI's thought process, then there's a good chance it's hiding some biases.
And of course, I'd emphasize the importance of ongoing monitoring and auditing. It's not enough to just check it once and call it a day.
Right. The data used to train the AI might change. The job requirements might evolve. There are so many things that could introduce new biases over time.
It's like taking your car in for regular tune-ups. You want to catch any problems early on before they turn into major headaches.
Exactly. You got to be proactive and responsible when it comes to AI. We're dealing with powerful technology here.
This whole thought experiment really drives home the point. Albemarle gives us a roadmap for navigating the ethical challenges of using AI in hiring.
It reminds us that these principles are more important than ever as we enter this new age of AI. It's up to us to make sure these tools are being used in a way that promotes fairness and opportunity for everyone.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Albemarle Paper Company v. Moody, I want to encourage everyone listening to keep digging into this topic.
It's a case that's had a huge impact on how we think about fairness and justice at work.
And it's a reminder that achieving equality is a journey, not a destination.
Mm-hmm. Do your own research, learn more about these issues, and think critically about how they apply to your own work and life. You might even discover something we didn't cover today.
And if you do, we want to hear about it. Keep those questions coming, keep challenging those assumptions, and keep fighting for a better future.
This conversation is far from over. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Albemarle Paper Company v. Moody.
See you next time.